get together, they head up to these places, they get in a little community, and it spans generations. There could be grandpa up there ready to deer hunt, all the grandkids, and they just migrate up there to do it, and it's such a great ritual because, you know, it gets people together. They do that. Now, nowadays, you know, sometimes those deer shacks literally are paper tin shacks, you know, just throw together. They only use it once a year for a week. But it gets people in there, and, you know, all the hard work that those hunters have done, whether they're planting out food plots or cutting shooting lanes or building the deer stands and all that, all that hard work is finally coming to fruition. And it's such a great way to do it because not only is it family getting together, it's buddies and friends getting together. The neat thing is, too, nowadays, you know, it used to be, call it chauvinistic. It was a men's weekend, and everybody would go. Nowadays, you're seeing a lot of fellas bring their daughters out. Now those daughters are bringing their daughters out. So it's a terrific communal deal. And right around now, you're seeing all these fellas, maybe a few of them got the early shot. They're still in their stands. You come in, you can sit back at that deer shack, and someone's making a big lumberjack breakfast. Maybe there's a big hot pot of chili, so you come in, you relax, but it's just so communal, and it's unique, especially to the northern states. So, you know, Wisconsin, Minnesota has great tradition in those deer camps, and it's so fun. And then not to mention, the best part about it is you do get to harvest some of that venison, and venison is such a delicious meat. Oftentimes, I think it's biggest problem with venison or most game is people overcook it. You know, they're so scared of, you know, they go into I think most games should be at a kind of a medium rare or even rare because, you know, think about it. Those deers are out there. They're working for a living. They're out there fighting. Maybe they're not getting the best diet, but if you look at the meat itself, there isn't a lot of that marbling that you see on a great steak. These guys are lean meat. And so when you overcook it, you know, it gets real tough to get real leathery and whatnot. So I always recommend whatever you're doing is, you know, cook it on a quick sear. But also, you could also do a little bit of a stewed side of things. An old family friend, Jorgen Biltoff, that used to run all the Radisson kitchens, had a wonderful recipe for venison chili. And that chili was such a great addition with venison because that venison is such a robust, large flavors in that chili. It went so well with it. So as we're sitting there talking about all these things, one of the best wines to go with game is the wines from the Rhone Valley. Now, with that, they're generally a lot of Grenache, but there's also Syrah, Mourvèdre, whatnot. And in that area, one of the best wines to go with it is Chateau Neuf du Pape. Now, this is a little area. Now, we'll get into a history lesson. In about the 13th century, they finally elected the French Pope, and he didn't like Rome too much, so he decided to move shop and go up to Avignon and set up the papacy up in the area of Avignon, which is in the south of France, beautiful area. But even in those days, the hot summer months, he wanted to get out of Avignon. He built himself a little palace in a little village just north of the town of Avignon. They got the nickname Chateau Neuf du Pape. And with that, that means the new house of the Pope. Now, they make wonderful wines up in here. They're so beautiful and so wonderful. And they're blends. And again, there are blends. They're dominated by Grenache, but they also have a little bit of Syrah, a little bit of Mourvèdre, and a little bit of something they're carrying on, but not. There's other great varietals in there. Denny?
Yes, I'm listening. I'm writing this down, as a matter of fact. Oh, I think we lost him. You know, I have a feeling that Ted is not in the Twin Cities. I bet he's out hunting himself somewhere, and we're having a bit of cell phone problems for sure. But just a reminder, while we're reconnecting, are you there?
Yeah,
Yes, I am. I guess some of the deer out there that are getting hunted wanted to cut that off so we wouldn't talk about any more harvesting of deer, I guess.
It's a deer conspiracy. Doggone it. Yeah, but go ahead, Ted. Sorry about that drop out there.
Well, that's quite all right. I mean, in this modern day and age, I mean, I'm technically challenged as well. So I could barely run my own phone, let alone a big switchboard like that. So there's
I'm with you. Well, let's continue that. What else? What other kinds of wines and the blends of wine is good with venison?
Well, with that, again, talking about the Chateauneuf du Pape, and I don't know how far we got into that before it got cut off.
Oh, you got quite a bit in there, yeah.
Okay. And then, well, right now we have a lot of great deals. Believe it or not, we found a couple great values of Chateauneuf du Pape. They're even on the BOGO. Now, Chateauneuf du Pape, it's a small area, so generally you get a little bit higher price. Now some of them can even range in the $100 and some, but we found a few that are just great that are actually on our buy one, get one that are $60. For the first one, boils down to $30, and that's Laflon Chateauneuf du Pape. But those Chateauneuf du Papes are so great because they have that great blend of Grenache, a little Syrah, and Beauvais, and they have a little bit more Syrah than their Côte du Rhône little brothers down the south. And so they're a little bit more robust. They're a little bit bigger flavor, but they also do finish off with a little bit of elegance. So when you are cooking that game, when you're searing up a big backstrap and you have a Chateauneuf du Pape, you know that it's just a great, great marriage between that robust flavored meat and a robust flavored wine. And again, the Chateauneuf du Papes are so special because they really do hit the mark with all those game. And even if you have other game, whether you're doing a little bit of pheasant or duck, it goes well with that. But that blend is so special. And it's such a unique piece of wine history with the popes and all their schism that they had centuries ago. But it's a beautiful little village. And there's still a old tower there, the dungeon, that unfortunately it was a castle up until about the 45 when the Nazis were retreating and they blew it up. But the remnant's still there. It's kind of the symbol of Chateauneuf du Pape. But it's great. And, you know, maybe if $30 and more too much, you could always try a Côte du Rhône, wonderful little blends. Again, Grenache, Syrah, Mourvèdre, all that. And right now we have our Sadder Taste going on in all the stores, where if you're interested in some of those Rhône varietals, we have about 4 Côte du Rhônes to try as far as some Louis Bernard. One of my favorites, the Aubryu, great little Rhone wines. And those are generally inexpensive wines, but they will go so well with that game. So if somebody's out there in the deer stand today, you get some back straps, you should swing by a Haskell's, pick up some Côte du Rhône, but definitely try the Chateauneuf du Pape because it would be so terrific and make that experience of going out into the woods, being with your friends, being with your family, harvesting a critter, and hopefully you get a trophy, but sometimes you're just out there hunting for meat as well. But you fill up that freezer full of meat to enjoy later on, and then you have some wine to enjoy with that meat.
Absolutely. I recall when you opened the show with the families, these get-togethers, I was thinking about our car guy from Lloyd's, Nick. He called me and said for the very first time, he is taking his young son out, so up north, for his very first outing. But you're right; it really is for so many families a great tradition. And like you said, even if you don't get a trophy or anything, just coming in to warm up and get some chili or whatnot. But I wanted to ask you about grilling venison, something I've never done before. I've never cooked it that particular way before. Give me some tips on that, because it's pretty lean stuff, right?
You are correct, and that's kind of the trick to it is when, and it depends on your cut and what you're doing, but you truly want, it is a back strap or whatnot, you're grilling it. In my opinion, what you really need to do, you could obviously season it, salt and pepper, and almost just flash sear that back strap where you put it on the grill, roll it so there's a little nice bark on the outside, but you truly don't want to get that in there over 7 minutes, maybe even 7 minutes, depending on the size, could be a little bit too long because you really want to enjoy the flavor. And if you overcook that backstrap and go into, and you're worried about, hey, I only eat my steaks at, medium rare or even, well done, if you have a well-done back strap, it's like kind of chewing on a little bit of beef jerky. It's a little tough, and that's the best part of the venison that you have. But, you know, there's other cuts, and, you know, if you did a bigger, some guys debone the thigh and do it as a roast, and that is a little bit of slow and low, but then you still have to kind of watch your temperature on that still, even though you're roasting it, because an overdone, roast, venison roast, might as well have a football for lunch.
As a matter of fact, and I've done that too, as a matter of fact. Say, I know we're almost out of time, Ted, but I'm thinking that we always get a lot of new listeners that enjoy the show. And for those that maybe don't know the history of Haskell's, give us a little thumbnail sketch of how long Haskell's has been around and all these great locations.
You're correct. You know, Haskell's has been doing this, and we've survived through 90 deer seasons in this state of Minnesota, and Benny being a bootlegger, it could have been a few seasons before that as well. But we've been doing this for 90 years. We've been importing wine since 1936. We have gone from a small little shop right there in downtown Minneapolis on 7th Street, and we've grown the empire to span 10 different locations and 10 different municipalities. With the direction of my father, we expanded, got bigger, and whatnot, and it was just terrific. And there's Haskell's locations all throughout the metro. We started out with the Haskell's in downtown Minneapolis back in 1934, but then we moved on to Haskell's Highland Village. Then later on, we saw that the population was going on, so we moved out to Minnetonka as well. Then we expanded out to the other side of Lake Minnetonka at Excelsior, and there's a Haskell's right in downtown Excelsior as well. So then we went to Haskell's in Bloomington, down in Lowman's Plaza, way back in the 90s. Eventually, though, we moved into a Haskell's in Woodbury, a Haskell's in Stillwater, and then we went down south to Haskell's Faribault, and then we opened up our Haskell's Superstore way up in Maple Grove, and it's a sight to be seen to stop in today for a Saturday taste, to have a little bit of Cote de Rhone and enjoy those things. And, you know, if you have some game, or even if you're just going to roast something on the grill, those Cote de Rhones are brilliant with, and there's Haskell's all around. And if you can't stop in any of those stores today, you can always stop by Haskell's.com. That's open 24/7. So if you're in a deer stand, maybe you can hit that. I don't know if we could deliver that to the deer, but to the actual stand, but we'll do our best.
That sounds like a great idea. I know it's a bit off topic, but listeners have heard you mention the word chili. And a quick question before we let you go. What kind of wine can I pair with chili? I guess it depends the kind of chili, right?
Well, yeah, it properly depends. I mean, there's some of those kind of white chicken chilies that are out there that I would say maybe stick to a little bit more Chardonnay. But, you know, generally chilies have that spice. There's a little bit hefty to it, a little bit of body. So definitely the Chateauneuf de Pape that I recommended earlier, or a nice little easy Cote de Rhone, is a brilliant match with that chili.
Absolutely. Well, Ted, I wish you well. I'm glad we connected. A little worried about that, but we'll straighten things out here before next week, and we'll join forces again next Saturday morning. What do you say?
I look forward to that. Good luck with your technical difficulties.
All right. Thanks so much. Thanks, Ted. We'll talk to you next week. Ted Farrell from Haskell's. Yes, we hope to straighten things out real soon. And by the way, get those lawn and garden questions ready. Mary Meyer from the University of Minnesota. Always fun to have Mary on the radio talking lawns and gardens. That's coming up in just a matter of minutes. We're already starting to get text questions about lawns and gardens. So get those ready for next hour, when Mary Meyer from the U of M joins us for our Smart Garden Show. Right now in the Twin Cities, could get some showers later today. Right now, 42 on CCO.